that first presentation will be on how lawyers look at making the case for the reliability of the New Testament.
Craig Parton talking about his presentation at this summer's Issues Etc. Making the Case conference.
The information we have about Jesus, primarily about his life and death and resurrection, primarily comes from the four Gospels, certainly from the rest of the New Testament. But if the record we have of Jesus Christ can't be relied on, we're doomed.
You can meet and hear Craig Parton making the case for the historical Jesus June 13th and 14th at the Issues Etc. Making the Case conference in Collinsville, Illinois. For more information, just look for the Making the Case logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, or call 618-223-8385, 618-223-8385. The Issues Etc. Making the Case conference, June 13th and 14th in Collinsville, Illinois.
We have some special news for you. Our special news is that Mommy's going to be having another baby.
It's in your tummy? Another baby? We're gonna have five kids? Aaron's a big brother now? Yay! Is it a girl or a boy?
We don't know yet.
Go check it out! Can I touch it?
You can touch my tummy.
When did God put it in?
Yeah,
I think I just felt it.
This is classic.
Oh, that's adorable is what it is. It's a little audio from a slightly viral video from our guest for the next half hour of Issues Etc., Pastor Matt and Cassie Makala, announcing to their four children that there's another child there in mom's tummy. And the children's reaction, especially that little question, when did God put it in? Now, we begin to teach our children all sorts of things from the very beginning of their lives. We teach it in many ways, not always in words, but eventually, yes, even in words. What about the Christian faith? Should we wait until they're able to talk or think or understand all the things that we as adults understand? Joining us to talk about teaching our children the Christian faith, Pastor Matt and Cassie Makala. They're married parents of five children in Midland, Michigan, and co-authors of an article for the Lutheran Witness magazine titled In the Home. Matt and Cassie, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thank you for having us, Todd.
We just heard a little window into a very special moment in your family's life. What was happening there? And Pastor, how did that get you thinking about the subject at hand, teaching our children the Christian faith?
Yeah, this is a very special memory for us. We found out that our fifth child was on the way, and so we gathered our four kids together in our living room. Our kids are our ages 7, 5, 3, and 1 currently. And we revealed to them that they were going to have another brother or sister. And we decided to videotape the whole thing. And, you know, the reaction blew us away, honestly, as Christian parents, as to the joy that they had, especially our oldest, at this news, her excitement, the statement she was making about this new life that God had given us. And it was especially when she asked the question, when did God put it in, that really struck us as being, wow, what a confession of faith that she recognized already that this was a gift from God. And this video, you know, went viral among our friends on social media, and they were just blown away by it, how such a small kid could have this confession of faith. I mean, Reagan, our daughter, confessed God as the Lord and giver of life, as we say in the Nicene Creed, through her testimony that day.
Cassie, as the mother of four and counting, five, when does the teaching of the Christian faith begin with children?
Well, I would say it's never too early. One of my favorite stories in the Bible is certainly the story of John the Baptist in Elizabeth's womb, and he leaps for joy in the presence of his Lord, and I think that just shows the faith of children starts earlier than our Christian culture sometimes tends to think it does. We have the advantage now with our youngest children that our older children are certainly ready to hear more and more. And so they get that as we talk to the older children. But my 3-year-old daughter in particular has just blown me away a couple times recently about the things she had said. For example, the 3-year-old daughter and 5-year-old daughter were playing together, and they were in this kind of super sentimental moment, like, oh, we're sisters, we're going to love each other forever, we just love each other so much. And the three-year-old said to the five-year-old, I died on the cross for you. Now, of course, afterwards I told them that, you know, let's not pretend anymore that we died on the cross for each other. But when I heard that, I was just blown away, you know, of all the examples of love she could have chosen. That was what came to her mind immediately, and I said, she gets it. And so I think never underestimate how early the kids can get even more than just the very basic concepts.
Well, that's a stunning example, Pastor Makala, that that these things actually stick. But more than that, we're not just talking about the cognitive ability of kids. We're talking about the power of God's Word in their lives, aren't we?
Absolutely, yeah. This Word that God promises will not return to Him without accomplishing the purposes for which He sends it.
Then, if you would, Pastor, talk about or respond to those who would say, look, children are cute and they're innocent and they say cute things, sometimes even kind of echoing the things they hear in church or in the home, but they're not really capable of believing it or understanding it. This is an opinion a lot of Christians share. They talk about children having to be of a sufficient age to accept or believe these things. What are your thoughts there pastorally?
Well, yeah, that's not consistent with our experience as parents. We see these young children, like Cassie said, speaking privately to one another. They don't think that we're listening to them, but they're talking about Jesus, about how important it is. We see their excitement for going to God's house. It's definitely not a show, and it, you know, it's interesting how those children are the ones that Jesus said the kingdom of God belongs to such as them. They are the ones who really do trust with faith like a child. And oftentimes they put us adults to shame, to be honest with you, in terms of their regard for the Lord. They recognize that God gives out good things to them, and they want to be in His presence. And we value children in God's church. We do welcome them to the baptismal font, you know, as early as possible. We do desire to teach them the faith in Christian day schools and Sunday schools and things like that. But above all, to begin that process in the home. We see parents as being the ones actually primarily responsible for the education of their children in the Word of God.
Cassie, how does it look? I'm not talking for a how-to, but paint us a picture of how this isn't necessarily, well, I have to sit my kids down at a set of desks and we have a Jesus Bible class. How does it look in the day-to-day life of a family where father and mother, parents, are instructing their children in the Christian faith day by day?
Well, we try to do a number of different things, and some of them are planned, some of them are spontaneous. We listen to CPH Sunday School CDs in our van, and I've noticed that my older daughter, who now has memorization in school, has already memorized so many of those Bible verses, so it's very helpful to her. But we also have things up on our walls, catechism posters, pictures of our children's baptism. And children are naturally curious. So my five-year-old daughter asked me the other day, we were sitting on the couch, and she was looking at the confession poster on the wall. What's confession? And so that gave me the opportunity to talk to her a little bit about that. You know, they still ask about their baptisms in those pictures also. But I think what we try to do most is, well, I guess, two big goals for me. I really try to instill in them a pattern of daily and regular confession and absolution, and I think it stems from knowing that I don't do this well myself. For example, you'd be amazed how many times just walking around the house I step on little kids' toes, and you know, they say, Mom, why do you step on me? And my gut reaction is always, well, you are in my way. And I'm really trying to train myself instead to say, I'm sorry for stepping on your toes. Please forgive me. And obviously then that, you know, transfers to much more important things in life. The other thing, my goal is just to encourage an open atmosphere of theological discussion. And my hope and my prayer is that by starting young, that will continue into perhaps the more difficult years of their faith, you know, in the teenage years and on. And the big way that I try and do that is, you know, a lot of days I'm tired, I'm busy. They ask me a question that I really have to think about, and my response might be to kind of blow it off, just give a really easy answer, or say, we'll talk about that later. And so I really try to force myself to give an answer and open up that window to talk about even more.
Pastor Makala, you both have mentioned baptism, so put these things together. the baptism of our children, as Scripture clearly urges, instructs, even commands us to do, that we do not make them wait to become children of God, but we bring them at the earliest possible time to the waters of baptism for the gift of faith. What's the connection between that and this ongoing life with your kids, teaching them the Christian faith?
Yeah, it's a continual pointing them back to their baptism. You know, Cassie mentioned the confession and absolution. We know that in confession we return to God's promises in baptism. We're like the prodigal son who loses all hope within himself and goes back to his father. We call upon him in the Lord's Prayer as our Father as well. You know, it's about that time of the year when a lot of churches are going through confirmation services, and you know, we think it's important to identify a lifelong pattern of discipleship for the Lord. And I think pastors oftentimes can tell, you know, which confirmation students are going to remain faithful. They already see the pattern of regular worship attendance, the desire to receive God's gifts and worship from certain students and families. They know what the family's home life is like. And, you know, my contention is that, generally speaking, people who don't believe or who are very lukewarm about these things, who don't value God's gift in baptism, for instance, like they should, tend to raise children who don't believe or who are lukewarm or don't value God's gift in baptism. And vice versa, of course, when that is really lifted up as the important thing it is in the home, then those children will have the chance to grow up, hopefully, and raise children of their own. And perhaps even one generation will get stronger than the one who came before it, constantly building upon the foundation of the Word. You know, we can plant the seeds in the home. Others will water those seeds along the way, God's pastors and teachers, but God will give the growth.
Pastor Matt and Cassie Makkala are our guests on this Wednesday afternoon, April the 30th. We're talking about teaching our children the Christian faith. They're married parents of five children in Midland, Michigan, and co-authors of an article for the Lutheran Witness magazine titled In the Home. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit about how Sunday morning also shapes the faith of our children.
Teach your children well, their fathers have. It slowly go by and feed them on your dream.
You know you want to be there. A pile of pastors, a mountain of musicians, a boatload of laity, all passionate about worship, gathered together on the beautiful campus of Concordia University, Nebraska, this coming July, the 28th through the 31st. Comfort, comfort ye my people, preaching, praying, and singing the comfort of Christ to the troubled conscience and the broken heart. John Kleinick, Paul Solek, Betsy Werner, Brian Wolfmiller, Robin Lever, and the stash himself, President Matthew Harrison. Oh yeah, and two other guys named Wilkin and Whedon, along with a whole pile of your favorite Issues, Etc. guests. Did I mention that the registration cost starts at just $175? Or that full-time students, including seminarians and deaconess students, pay just $25 registration? Yeah, seriously. I told you, you want to be there. For more information, click the link, Comfort Comfort, on the Issues Etc. homepage, issuesetc.org.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues Etc.
As sure as his resurrection, an Easter sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin.
He meets us here, not just an empty cross, not just an empty tomb, but the very risen Christ himself, the one who is the resurrection and the life.
We'll send you a CD of this sermon and a sermon on Job for any size gift during the 50 days of Easter. Make a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. Thanks for your support during the Easter season.
Hi, this is Pastor Clayton from Zion Lutheran Church of Muscoda, Illinois, a proud supporter of Issues Etc. I would like to invite you to a special event being hosted by Zion Muscoda. On Saturday, May 3rd, we're hosting a hymnody workshop featuring Pastor William Whedon, an Issues Etc. favorite. We'll use the historic hymnody of the church to meditate on the life of Christ. The workshop begins at 2 p.m. on Saturday, May 3rd, and all are welcome. For more information, visit our website at www.zionmuscoda.com.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about teaching our children the Christian faith. It's Wednesday afternoon, April the 30th. Pastor Matt and Cassie Makkala are our guests. This is the experience we had when our kids were little, especially with my son. he was in church every Sunday and midweek services and things like that. And even as a little baby, before he could actually form sentences, he was just beginning to put words together. We would listen to him over the baby monitor, and we would hear him at night as he's kind of calming himself and going down to sleep, singing. He's always sung. Singing the liturgy, though. He is singing, "This is the feast of victory for our God," or "Glory to God in the highest," all these different parts of the liturgy. Talk, if you would, about how Sunday morning worship also shapes the life of our children.
Yeah, there is a rhythm to it, and it's that repetition, I think, that is so crucial. I mean, imagine, how would a child learn if every day is something different and new, if there isn't that regularity to it? You know, even that word catechesis that we talk about sometimes really has at its core to echo back what God has first said to us. And so we hear these things, and we echo them back, just like these young children, like your son was doing. He heard something, and he echoed it back. You know, our children will mimic us first. Our one-year-old right now is basically a walking parrot. I mean, he will say whatever we say, which makes us have to be very careful what we say, too. And so it is with us in the church. We must learn God's language first, and then have the chance to echo it back, first that we might believe, and also that others may hear, too.
Cassie, someone says to you, look, it's easy for you because you're a pastor's wife. You have a ready theological resource, essentially a theological expert on hand most of the time, and you can always say, well, let's talk to Daddy about that when he gets home. And it's easy for you, but the lay person who says, I'm not a pastor, I'm not qualified to teach my children the Christian faith, what's your response?
Well, I do agree. I am blessed in that way, both having a Concordia education and also being married to an expert. But I have been thinking recently, you know, a lot of people complain about the digital technology age and how it's ruining so many things. But I know I, many times on Sunday morning, miss all or most of the sermon with a one-year-old boy in the pew. And you know, today, so many churches have their sermons on their websites. There are many, many excellent Lutheran resources out there available just at the, you know, touch of your finger on your phone or your tablet. And so I completely agree that the layperson who has not been trained, this is not going to flow naturally from parent to child. I feel in our house very strongly it does, because we are prepared to answer those questions, and we, you know, are very proud to be a Lutheran, and that just creates that kind of environment. So those parents who do not feel confident talking to their children about the faith, I would just encourage them very strongly to take advantage of all those resources, and certainly, you know, being in weekly worship and Bible study will be very beneficial too, but to, you know, surround yourself in those things, surround yourself with other Lutheran friends who can talk through it with you. And I think that those lay people who are less confident at that point will naturally find that the confidence builds and it just flows out of them from parent to child.
Pastor Makala, kids have a tendency to ask a lot of questions. Sometimes those questions are awkward. Sometimes they're impossible to answer in a way that, you know, answering a question at a kid's level, you simply can't tell them. It's going to be something that they fail to understand. How do we navigate those difficult waters when the questions that our children, in matters of the faith, the questions that they are asking are the difficult questions?
I think sometimes it's impossible to give an answer that completely satisfies. There are questions that I'm not satisfied with the answers I've received either. And I think it's okay to step back and tell the young person, you know, I need to think about that some more, or let's keep talking about this, and not rush to an answer that may be inadequate or lead somebody astray. Sometimes we're so quick to respond that we may not respond in the most helpful way, especially when it comes to questions of suffering. And the difficulties of living in a fallen world, in a fallen flesh. You know, why does this happen? There are some things we simply can't come up with an exact answer for, but we must, in the end, entrust ourselves to the Lord, who promises to work through all things for the good of those who love him.
Cassie, there are parents who start their kids early in sports. Let's just use as an example. There's nothing wrong with sports.
Mm-hmm.
But they'll get the kids to swimming lessons when they're still in diapers.
or they'll get the kids to a soccer game when they're just barely able to run sometimes. I mean, you can find a league for your kid at every level here. Is there a connection to be made there with Christian parents just saying, look, if you're starting that stuff that you consider to be important for their formation in life this early, what about the Christian faith?
Oh, absolutely. When you look back later in life on what was most important for your kids, my husband and I were both athletes growing up. We don't play any of those sports anymore. You know, this is so much more important. And going back to the generation to generation thing, I know I kind of grew up in elementary school. I remember this idea about someday I'm going to change the world and I'm going to make a difference. Well, training your children in faith is the way you actually can impact future generations. Most of us in the, you know, just day-to-day jobs or sports or anything like that, we're not going to make a big impact on the future. But to train our children, we certainly can. And so how much more important is that? And, you know, certainly the most important things we should start at the youngest age, I believe.
Pastor Macklett, it sounds like what your dear wife is saying there is that in training your children as young as they are, seven on down, you are, in fact, leaving a deposit for your grandkids and your great-grandkids that have yet to be born.
That's absolutely true, yeah. We believe that fully, and you know, we may never even meet some of these people in this life, but we will in the life to come through the faith that unites generations in Christ. We referenced in the article Psalm 145 where God tells us, one generation shall commend your works to one another and shall declare your mighty acts. Really, we say that to the Lord. That is our goal as well, that we would pass on the faith to the next generation and following. And that is more lasting, more fulfilling than anything else in all of life.
Finally then, Cassie, in the course of a day, I can only imagine, you know, what it's like with four, one on the way, there waiting to be born. What a day for a Christian mother looks like, just logistically. I don't know. That takes an expert, if you ask me. Is it really possible to, as a Christian mother, to keep the instruction of the Christian faith embedded in all those mundane, everyday, vocational, godly things that you're doing otherwise, like the food and the clothes and the getting them from here to there?
Well, certainly I could do much more than I do. And most evenings when I lie in bed, I say to myself, I messed up today. Lord, please help me to be a better parent the next day. One thing I try to show my children, you know, even if I'm cooking or cleaning or something like that, and I'm not outright talking to them about the catechism, but just to model for them the life of serving your neighbor through your vocation. And I just think that's very, very important that you can certainly do that from a very young age.
And finally, for you, Pastor, how would you encourage parents who maybe have a kid on the way, the first, or who have a whole nest of kids in the house, who say, look, I don't know where to begin. We haven't been doing this too much, but we've been taking care of them. They're fed and they're clean and they're warm at night and they sleep in comfortable beds, but we really know we need to start. How would you encourage them?
I think most important is to develop a regular pattern of worship attendance as well as a family, to be in God's house. It is from the Word alone that we're going to draw the strength from the Lord to put these things into practice. It is really from the gospel of forgiveness in Jesus alone that we're going to have the will to do it, at least for the right reasons. And then to carry that over into the home, to, you know, build gradually as time goes on, as the comfort level increases, and to think that it's never too late, certainly, for God to do his work in this way, and to entrust things into his hands.
Pastor Matt and Cassie Macklett are married parents of five kids in Midland, Michigan. They're co-authors of an article for the Lutheran Witness magazine titled In the Home. Pastor and Cassie, thank you very much for being our guest.
It was our privilege.
Thank you.
We have a great resource for all of our listeners. We designed the Issues Etc. Making the Case conference for the layperson. It doesn't exclude the pastor or the professional theologian, but it's for our listeners, for the lay people. And we have a lineup of great speakers, Craig Parton, Matt Harrison, Will Wheaton, Chris Roseborough, Jonathan Fisk, and Al Schmidt, to help you as Christian parents prepare yourself to be able to help your kids answer the tough questions they will be eventually asking and will be eventually asked. It's called the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. It's June the 13th and 14th right here in Collinsville, Illinois. You can register and find out more at our website, issuesetc.org. Click the Making the Case logo or call Craig, 618-223-8385, and he'll answer any questions you have about the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference this summer. When we come back, we'll talk about the meaning of the Bible with Pastor Scott Adel and knowledge of the Scriptures with Pastor Jeremy Lesh.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Would you like to learn about the Reformation theology you hear on Issues Etc.? We'll send you a pamphlet of Luther's Small Catechism for free. It contains the biblical teachings on the Ten Commandments, the Apostles' Creed, the Lord's Prayer, baptism, the Lord's Supper, and confession and absolution. Order your free copy of Luther's Small Catechism today. Just send your name and mailing address to talkback@issuesetc.org.
Check out the updated showroom at Valo Floor Coverings, 1009 Plummer Drive in Edwardsville. Valo's offers free in-home measurement, interior design consultation, and experienced installation. Celebrating 50 years of trusted experience, Valo Floor Coverings, 1009 Plummer Drive in Edwardsville, 618-656-7788 or valofloor.com.